بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنه would ask Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the problems that are to come. Whereas others used to ask about the good things that they may expect. So the reasons are obvious. The reasons are that if I know the problem, then I can take the precautionary measures. If you don't know about the road hazard, the dangers on the road, then you can get yourself involved. Know about the problems, the traffic problems on the road. From Camperdown, people are coming to Spingo, took them 6 hours. They don't know about the hazard, they don't know about the problem. They just went on the road, they're stuck. But if you know about it, then you know the necessary precautionary measures that are to be taken. So this must be the reason Huzaifah radiallahu anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to know about what's going to happen. The fitna, the trial. The word fitna, fitan, is on the scale of mihan. The scale is the same and the meaning is the same. Mihan, you know, we talk about imtihan. So imtihan, what happens? لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. The good gets separated from the filth. That's the style, that's the way of Allah Ta'ala. The design that every now and then there will be an examination. And in that examination and trial, Allah Ta'ala will sift out. Allah Ta'ala's knowledge is perfect and complete. His knowledge of the future is like His knowledge of the present and the past. So His knowledge is not deficient in any respect. He knows exactly. But sometimes Allah Ta'ala brings this up that people get to know and understand who's who. In the battle of Uhud, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, up till now his colors had not featured. So right they are around the time that they are in the crux, right in the lion's jaw, they're meeting up with an opposition that is 3,000, three times their size, and fully armed. So right at this moment, and he betrays 300 of his people, they take a U-turn back to Medina. Well, leaving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba Kiram to the mercy of the enemies. So in crunch time, they will just desert. So if there isn't a trial like this, then how do you discover who is faithful and who is a traitor? How are you going to make out? So Allah Ta'ala brings about, creates this thing here, that you know alright where his allegiance lies. Is it with the truth or is it with falsehood? Is it for convenience or is it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala? Is he true in what he's saying, he loves me? Or is it just some type of a lip service? What is it? So Allah Ta'ala will bring these things up. And we also do the same when a person is coming for a job interview. Then he's tested, he's tried out, right? There's an interview that he goes through. Then they'll keep him for 6 months probation and see how his performance, they'll see he's conforming to the standards of the company, they'll keep him on. And if he's not performing, then they'll nicely part ways. So we also do the same, don't we do the same? We try the person out. Madrasa does the same, the school does the same, trying him out at every semester, end of the year, trying the person out. This person is fit to go to the next standard. So in our life also we do the same. We're looking for food, that food also is tested out. is the right type of food, or is it organic, or it is genetically modified? What is it? Is it pure or not? Don't we see, don't we look at all these things here? So Allah will do this. He will try you out. فَلَنَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَنَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah Ta'ala will make out and see those who really mean it, they are true, and those that are lying. He'll know it exactly. He knows it, but that it may come into the public eye. You see, فَلَنَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ, in other words, that this will come into the public eye. It will be a trial. So, Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu would ask about these things that are to come. And these trials must take place. In the qabr also there's a trial. Aren't there, isn't there a trial in the qabr? Things will be sifted out. Allah Pak knows the person is going to Jannah or Jahannam, yet He puts him through a trial in the grave. On the day of Qiyamah again, لا يزال قدم عبد. And until you don't answer these four questions, you can't move on the day of Qiyamah. So there too there's a trial. In the qabr there's a trial. This world is a trial as well. When Allah Ta'ala takes someone's child, then Allah Ta'ala asks the malaika that you took away the beloved of my servant. Yes. أَخَسْتَ ثَمَرَةَ فُعَادِي. You took away the apple of his eye, you took away. Yes. What did he say? He said, Alhamdulillah. We belong to Allah Ta'ala and Alhamdulillah. See, so again, there's a trial. What is the response of the person when that beloved has been taken? You can say, no, I will pass the test. But crunch time, what happens to you? So Allah is going to see, what's the allegiance like? Where's the alliance? Are you truthful? Are you betraying? Where are you with? And in the marriages also it happens. You get so many emails nowadays that the wife would say, you know what, he was gone to work and he forgot his phone. Or he's gone to the bath and I just checked through his phone. And why she checked? Obvious reason, to test him out. He says he loves me, he's giving me time and money. But is he true in what he's saying? And you got someone else. She's also trying you out. See, how many cases? We have cases. It's now recently from a person came from Johannesburg. So the wife's brother came here to complain. Top person, big accountant, wearing kurta, popular, wearing turban. Wife checking to his phone to the history. So some of them have done accounting. And you're doing accounting at a higher level than they teach you forensic. In the forensic, then you need to know how to hack into the phone. So she hacked into the phone, she found out his history. Well, he's playing with so many girls, and then from here, he's become a gay, and now he's a pedophile playing with little children, small children. From one to the second to the third. Now this person came here to me, say, we want to put this man away. He betrayed my sister like this. See, at what time they come here? At which point they come here? So by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I will take care of myself. I said, nothing is in your favor, the law is not in your favor. When the law is not in your favor, then are you going to make it any better or worse for yourself and your family? What are you going to do? So, if you found this person betraying, then just move away from him. Respectfully ask for a divorce and move away. So the law is not in your favor. You will have to look after your own Islam. Wherever you go now, you will have to take care of your own Islam. Whether here or whether in any other country for that matter, you will have to look for it. What's the good in staying in an estate, living in an estate, right? There's no Islamic ethos. There's no Tabligh Jamaat coming there. There's not a masjid within a 15-20 kilometer radius. So what have you got? You've got some security features, and besides that, your neighbor is a gay or is a Satanist, and all these people are quite wealthy, very, very wealthy. That's why they can go and experiment in these things here. So tomorrow, your children's friends, who will they be? Think about yourself. Right? You're living in another area, a little bit unsafe. But there is an environment, encouraging environment. So someone asked me about 20, 25 years ago, you're all planning to go to America, Australia, very wealthy. So what's your take, Mawlana? So now you decided, now you're coming to ask me. So I said, see, I don't want to give you a decision, because you've made up your mind, so now you must tell us. So I said, you're going elsewhere, so iman ka khatra, aur yahan to jaan ka khatra. Here you're risking your life, and there you're risking your iman. You know, whatever is dearer to you, you think about it. You're risking your life here, but you're risking your iman there. Right? So you must think what's better for you. There's so many cases where man left with his wife, and in a few years, because they had freedom, education, etc., so she educated herself, she asked for a divorce, another divorce, because this thing like community and property took him all his wealth, khalas, gone. But it took him years to make up, you know, 50 million, 60 million. And then she just had to learn something, get a degree or something, file for a divorce, and gone. It's not an isolated case. It carries on. Because there the goal is different. The goal here, or the goal in a mu'min, is iman, is jannat, is akhirat. The goal there is dunya. So then you have to do everything to make the dunya work. Whatever it is, your deen, whatever, but make the dunya work. However you're going to make it work, chip something here, trim something there, chop off something this side here, but make the dunya work. So now, this chapter on fitna in Abu Dawud Sharif, we just discussed it now, right, in the class. It's fresh in my mind, therefore I'm just sharing it with you. So it comes after Kitabul Libas. Libas, clothing, and then fitna. But now, this Muhaddisin, the kitabs are all linked up. One is related to the other. It's not that randomly there is one Kitabul Libas here and Kitabul Salat, you know. It was a PhD that came here some times ago. So he tells me, you got this systemized kitabs, you know, kitabs in system. So this is from the West. So I asked him, alright, where did the West learn this from? Systemized everything. So he said, no, from the Industrial Revolution. So when was that? It's about 3.5-4 centuries. So well, Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Dawud, they were doing it from over 1,200 years. Look at the kitab, how the sequence is. They didn't just randomly write the kitabs. They wrote it in proper sequence. And look at the sequence, you know, your mind won't go. Imam Abu Dawud Sahib, he starts with his kitab, then he starts off with going toilet. Hey, what a strange thing to start off with. So obviously he has to start off with toilet, because if you didn't do the toilet and you came straight in namaz, your mind is in the toilet. Your mind is not in namaz. So if you have relieved yourself, you've cleared, now you are full with Allah Ta'ala. Imagine you came from a safar, right? 2 months in Jamaat or 4 months, whatever, and now you want some good time with your family. Just then when you are there with her, you know, you're doing something very serious, at that time she says, for 1 hour I'm battling here. I say, would you appreciate that? Do you appreciate that? Huh? See, all the time your mind was not with me then. Your mind was somewhere else. So how can you do this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That your mind is in the toilet, and here behind the imam, you're swearing the imam. I don't know today why the imam is lengthening the namaz. You couldn't just read Natina Kulwallah and finish the namaz quickly. But you see what's going on. So he wants your mental focus as well, not just your physical conformity. Total mental. Are you focused with me? or you elsewhere. So he starts off with toilet, get the toilet light. And the minutest details, then you are convinced that these muhaddithin, their love for Rasulullah is too great. Because every minute sunnah they recorded, and they write it from memory. So they must have had a love and a passion, they were impassionate about this, for them to preserve this and write it down. I imagine a thing like, when you're going to a toilet, then when should you undress? When should you undress? They got that hadith as well. You know, your mind doesn't go to that, but he's got that as well, that when should you undress? He says, as you're going down to the ground. Then you don't just from standing up, you got your trousers put, hang it up there, all of that. As you're going down to the ground, then you undress. And the qaida they draw out of this, الضرورة يتقدر بقدر الضرورة. That it's something important, right? You can't do without it. So to what extent? To the extent of need. So you didn't need to undress altogether, but the amount, to the extent that you needed to undress, you undressed. And you undressed as you're going down. It's also impressing on you that you see, you can't be walking in your house with your boxer shorts all around. See, it's just my wife and myself. No, you don't do that. And she can't be dressed, even if she's newly married, she can't be dressed just with a bikini. She must dress properly. Right in the bedroom, whatever, enjoyment and all that. But after that enjoyment, then dress up again. Because you want the companionship of the malaika. You want them to be with you all around. So recently, a person very sick, very extremely ill. So one nice senior alim sent to visit. The family saying, this man can't sleep for over 5 days, not sleeping, not day and night, hospital, but he can't sleep. They gave him all the drugs and all that, he can't sleep. So this nice senior alim, this ulama also you get now, those that are of the old guard. So a little bit secure with them. And then you, a little bit dicey. A little bit dicey, you have to say it nowadays. Before you mince your words, you have to say it, right? Because people come and tell you, but you know, what are you talking about music being haram? But that was, he was there, but he's very pious, you know, all the music was making tasbih also. Very pious, Mawlana. Now see how they're mixing up things. So now if someone doesn't separate the issues, then can that person get it straight? Have you confused the mind or not? You have definitely confused the mind. What he's doing is not right. There's no conformity. So one person is saying, I was just behind the, whoever it was, Ali, whoever it was, turban, kurta and everything else. And as I stood up, and my eyes just went on his phone. He was watching a movie. All the worst thing you could think of, he was watching that. In the masjid, in the first serve, whatever. So now, the safe thing is to be with those that are of the old guard. They held on to the old ideas, the old concepts, the old beliefs, the old practices. There's no mistake in them. But the new, you are dicing, you are experimenting. And the experiment, you may be used as a guinea pig. So you don't risk your iman for anything. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi was a very balanced alim, extremely balanced. Very seldom do you find a person as balanced as Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib. Very seldom. Very balanced, calm, composed. So he's writing one incident under this verse, Wal Muhsanatu Minan Nisa'i وَالْمُحْصَنَاتُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And before that, الْيَوْمَ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلُّ لَهُمْ. Showing our fitna now. So all trials, right? So he writes to the Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib that around the 1920, the Azhar's biggest Mufti had declared all meats to be halal. And he says that I got reason for that. Because the Quran says, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ. Ta'am, all the Mufassirin say it's referred to luhum, the meat. Right? So the meat of the Ahl Kitab is halal. So that means when it's halal, then the meat of a Hindu, of a Buddhist, of a Muslim, Christian, Jew, Zoroastrian, fire worshipper, all is halal. Because all of them claim that they are people of the book. They are following some heavenly book. So when they are following a heavenly book, then their meats must be haram, must be halal. So why have a selective attitude just towards the Christian and the Jew and bar out the rest? Everything is halal, irrespective of how they slaughtered. Because the Quran says, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, their meats are halal. So I was explaining this from ulama. And about 3 days later, one alim came, she said, oh, Mullah, I went and checked up in the Google, this thing was there in 1920. So now it's so difficult to conceal your things, you know. You talk of something here, before you know it, you've gone to America, wherever, there's a phone coming from that side. Strange, ajeeb dunya ho gayi. So you went and checked the thing up, she said, no, it happened in 1920. Now when that happened, so there was a big uproar in the whole Islamic world, 1920, when communications were not as swift as today. So there was a big noise, and there was demands to strip that mufti of his title. In the meanwhile, his students and his followers, they were for him, supporting him, this Mufti Shavita writes, because their things were getting, you know, they were getting favored, because now they get all the business contracts, etc. Now if they stop this thing here, then all this type of meat from Australia and New Zealand, etc., all the business will go. We're getting that thing for a song. So they were supporting it strongly. Sahib says that this is also a miracle of Islam. I like to read this last article, this last line I like to read. The miracle of Islam is, he says, when there's something wrong, awam ko bhi ek kisam ki becheni ho jati hai. Even the public, the man in the street, he feels like, hey, who tell you? What happened now? Kya ho gaya? What happened? My mother wasn't an educated person. She was an alim, right? But about 25 years ago, when this radios and all just started, you know, Radio Islam or whatever. So she was visiting some of her cousins. She came back. She says, hey, I thought barabar ni lagtum, man. Who tell you? What happened? I'm not looking right. What happened? So you can hear now that radio, and there's a young boy, there's a young girl. They're talking casually, they're laughing with each other. But we're not used to this type of Islam. So where this thing came from? You see, it creates an uneasiness, an anxiety in the mind of the commoner. Now you can say, don't talk of controversial things. You can say that, isn't it? But why did Mufti Muhammad Shafi spoke speak about this? Why did he do it? Because he had to make it clear. See, the field made it clear. Because if he didn't clear this up, right, say he didn't clear it up, say, no, don't talk of controversial things and all that. But I ask you, exactly about 8 years ago, in Cape Town, there were tons of pork that was going with the MJC seal. And nobody bat an eye. MJC seal, tons of it was going. So I said, is that not betraying the public? The person that had iman, and he was notified about 8 years later that what you've been eating was pork, how would he feel? So don't we have a duty to them? Right, this is not right. We've got nothing to do with it. And we have to stand for it. We have to say it as it were, we have to sing it. Now, he goes on and he speaks about, one is their slaughtering, right? And then he speaks about marriage, Christians, Jews, etc. He relates a story of Hazrat Huzaifa ibn Yaman, Hazrat Talha, and Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. They went towards Syria and they got married there, Christian, Jewish women, right? Now, must understand the demographics of Syria at that zamana. Because Syria was like a hub, was a center for Christianity. Jerusalem, Baitul Muqaddas, was one of the center. That famous hadith of Abu Sufyan. Right? And he was brought to the Roman governor. Where was he brought to? Baitul Muqaddas. Because the Roman Empire, Rome just won a war. And he had vowed that I'll come on foot to Baitul Muqaddas and show my appreciation to Allah Ta'ala for granting us this victory. So Baitul Muqaddas Sham was a center. Now you can understand now there's a center, right, for Christians, Jews, etc. Now these people got married to them, right? When they got married to them, so Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu writes up to them that you better separate this from them. So they wrote up, Hazrat, is there any hadith or verse of the Quran Sharif that's declaring its hurmat and prohibition? Azamtu alaykum an la tad'u kitabi hadha hatta tukhalliyahum. I'm commanding you that before leaving this letter of mine, you better move away from this woman, divorce them. So it's nowhere in the Quran, nowhere in the hadith. They divorced, right? And then he says, he gives the reason afterwards. The two possible reasons that come to my mind is that one is liqillati haya'ihim, right? They don't have the concept of haya and shame. Like you see Christians and Jews, all right? Are their heads covered? Are their legs covered? Right? Are the body hug? Are the clothes body hugging or not? Right. So they don't have the concept of haya. If you in an airport or in a public place, right? So the husband, this person's husband, is meeting that person's wife. They're hugging. They're shaking. And now, if your wife is to do to a stranger, is that acceptable? So the culture is different. They don't have morals. They don't have shame. Now you're going to get married to these people here. In one generation, what's going to happen to them? Just in one generation, you would lose them. Just one generation. They don't have the shame, right? Now you think about it. Now they having a get together, a Christmas get together. Remember, Umar Adiyan's sight was too much. It was too much. Now you're getting someone coming and saying, Na'uzubillah, right? Na'uzubillah. But now these things have to be thrashed out. They're saying over the radios, right, that Umar radiallahu was a narcissist. Exactly what this Maudud is doing, this people are doing the same thing. See, your father is a narcissist, right? You are a narcissist. What are you talking about? Narcissist means a person is self-centered, is a little off. That's a narcissist. And this is an ilzam. Allegation they make against him. And the radio, people are listening to it. Oh, very nice, mashallah, what a beautiful talk. In the meanwhile, what has happened? He has smashed down his Umar radiallahu's integrity, gone complete, finished. Now you didn't need a kafir to do it, you got a Maulana to do it. From one of those radio stations. You didn't need anybody outside to do it. But you see what's going on. This confusion is coming up. And the confusion is such that every coming day is a new confusion. Every coming day is a new confusion. One person is at counseling, right? He's counseling a school headmaster. Alim is advising. No, you see, the ulama was stopping you from going to university, stopping the women, high schools. No, what we're doing is we're just providing you an umbrella. It's raining now, so we're showing you the security measure. But an umbrella now, you're going in a rain, how to save yourself. Hey, that example is outdated, it's a scrap example. Talk of a tsunami, talk of a tsunami, a heavy flood. Yeah? When there's a turbulence in the sea, heavy waves are coming. Us chhatri ka kuch fayda hoga, bhai. So what is a scrap example you're using? See, a woman that phone up here, the ladies that phone up, they say, well, they're crying over the phone. We saw a girl, she got 7 A's and 8 A's, and the school said, don't waste her life, There's so much there's so much of potential in it, right? So send them. Don't waste the potential. Don't waste that potential, right? Send them to you. Now, this woman cries over the phone, says, now, she had the potential, she was taking university. By the third year, one day, she comes home hand in hand with a black atheist. Ma, this is my husband, meet him. The woman fell fainted straight away. Straight away. She's complaining to me. But it's not an isolated case. We think it's an isolated case. It's a common thing. It's a common thing. Now, the mother thinks, you know, I tried to save this woman here, but the mother is told, I had to shout the mother on the phone, that you are responsible for this. You sent the child to the lion's den, and you expected her to come out alive. It's your problem. Why do you send them to such dangerous environments? Isn't it your fault? You must equally take the responsibility on yourself. Now you did this, you send her, get smashed down, experimented in the haram, now you cry. See this original thought. By that infant, grade 2, grade 3, by it's enough now, stay at home. Salakaya. That's your place. Now why must we become overwhelmed with their culture? Is that right? That we become overwhelmed? Whatever the West is doing, we must do exactly the same. Otherwise we'll get left out. They're doing this, must do it. They're doing this, must do that. So we feel as though our integrity and respect is following them, conforming with their ways. If their women are going out, our women must go out. If their women are eating out, we must eat out. If their women are wearing tights and jeans, then our women must wear the same thing. If they are driving and running around, then our women must do the same thing. So, there was one person here came, a businessman. So he told me, hey, what this was happening here, this was happening in the West, the gays and whatever is happening. So he's asking me, Mona, what do you have to say? Because I'm trapped. He tells me, I'm trapped, my children are trapped. So I told him, compliments for you, for your slavery. You slaved yourself to the West, so that thing is enslaving you. What you have done? You have slaved yourself. So that thing is manipulating you, just like this. That's your respect. Your wedding must be done in this way. That's your respect. You say there was a complaint, and says, you know, my son is engaged, but I shouted at him. I gave him a tongue lashing yesterday. Why? So you know, you can go to your fiance just once a week. She's going every day, parking 6 hours there. Sorry, Chacha, I be harab chef, right? This is harab what you're doing. What are you talking about this thing? Now, that's a common thing. That's an absolutely common thing. They're doing it, and I won't mention the names of the families, but prominent families. Prominent, they're not short of anything. So now, then, why don't you get them married? Get them married, finish. So now, perhaps they will not agree. Not agreeing, then, at the last resort, do a secret marriage, but protect them. Save them from haram. We are not encouraging a secret marriage. But definitely we are forcing you to leave out haram. Now your child is doing the haram under your roof. So won't you also be party to this wrong? You're cooperating in the wrong. You can see it. He's telling you he's doing this. Now that's why the girl's father says, hey, please, man, send your son, man. My daughter is so uneasy. See, they're all cooperating towards the wrong. And the wrong is so hard in them that the wrong is not counted as a wrong. They can go and have some time alone in the room, whatever they can do, 3-4 hours they can spend, and then you can go back. So the wrong is no longer considered as a wrong. Now, we'll have a Hifz Jalsa, and we'll talk about the crown on the head. Right? But don't you know that the hadith also says, فَأَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرَّمَ حَرَمَهُ. That you get that fazilat of interceding for so many people, provided the halal is believed and taken as halal and the haram is taken as haram. Otherwise, you don't qualify. See these fitnas, these trials. So we're talking about this intermarriage, right? So this marriage, obviously for the marriage to go well, anybody will tell you that a harmonious relationship requires that both the spouses be on the same page. Now, she is doing her Diwali, right? And you doing your Eid, right? So the day she is doing her Diwali, if you're not with her, they say, you know, you let me down, you betrayed me. You know, it was the happiest occasion of my year, and you were not with me. So you have to burn the lamp, do all the prayers for that, and she will do everything for him on her Eid. This morning, I'm showing you the flood of fitnas, right? So don't think that what I'm talking is just emotional. Don't think that. So this morning, there's a complaint, right? What complaint came this morning? So there was a talk, right, in one of the masjids, wherever it was. I'm sure you will know by now. So the talk was some American, right? So that American, if he's got that tone, that twang, then he's an excellent speaker. So his whole speech was towards what? What was the whole speech? So the whole speech, he starts off his speech, he says, one birdman came and made salam. Said what? Ya khair al bariya. So Rasulullah said, that is true, is right? Zalika Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's Ibrahim alayhi salam. Khair al bariya means the best. So now he says, I got convincing proof, although my mind wants to say that Rasulullah was the best. But there's so compelling proof to tell that Ibrahim alayhi salam is the best of the Anbiya alayhi salam. Understand? And then the people of the masjid said, oh, we must have diversity, all inclusive, you know, all types of people must come and give bayans here. Now I ask you, what has happened to the masjid? What has happened to the crowd? What has happened to Rasulullah's integrity? And then he's going on heaping proofs upon proofs that this is right. Because he says, see, in the masjid that Ibrahim alayhi salam built, that masjid, the reward is multiplied 100,000. And the masjid that Nabi salam built, 1,000 sawab. Can you see that? Now, this is going totally against the whole ijma, consensus of all the ummah from the time of Rasulullah s.a.w. turn now, this American has to come and give it in an American tone, that there's not a single soul that is opposing it. That's not a single soul. All these type of things are istimbat, right? And istimbat everybody can make. See, there's a discussion as to what is better, Makkah or Medina, right? Malik rahmatullah says that Medina is better than Makkah Mukarramah. And he gives the reason. What's the reason? He says, "Ma bayna mimbari wa qabri rawdatun min riyadil jannah." Right? Between my qabr and the mimbar is jannah, right? Between these two points is jannah. Rawdatun min riyadil jannah. "Wa la mawdi'u sawtin min al-jannah khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha." And you know what is jannah? Just this musalla space, I'm giving for your ease and convenience, is better than the entire world. So isn't Medina Munawara better? Can you see that? So if you use random examples, then you can prove anything. But this is doing total disservice to the field of hadith. The hadith is not just verifying the authenticity, but to see exactly which hadith falls in which space. Every hadith has got a maqam, has got a status. And the hadith also has got certain conditions, right? Conforming to the condition is the reward. Like the hadith says, "Man qala la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah." Said, la ilaha illallah, you got your ticket to jannah. But that is provided you're conforming to certain conditions. He said, la ilaha illallah, then he's making bud parasti. Is worshipping an idol. So no, I got my jannat. So this is that American. Right. I became a sheikh and they gave me the platform. And nobody better than I at the whole talk. Can you see this? You can quote the hadith, "Man qala la ilaha illa dakhala al-jannah." So only that person is in the position of making istimbad, of verifying, deducing, etc., who knows the authenticity, who knows the ta'wil of the hadith, he knows it very well. He makes istiqra on that entire subject. Now if he deducts something, then it's a fair deduction. But you're pulling out something from here, pulling out something from here, and then you're giving it in a public talk, and then he says, no, I got compelling proof. That's his exact words. I heard the tape this morning. Compelling proofs that Ibrahim alayhi salam is superior. So the hadith is saying, even if Musa alayhi salam or any other Nabi was alive, ma wasi'ahu illa tibai, he must follow me. The hadith is saying, Adam wa ma siwahu tahta liwa'i yawm al-qiyamah. Adam and all the Anbiya, the whole Ummah, all Muslims will be under my banner on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, when there are people asking for intercession, they're going to Adam alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, all references are made to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the man that's appointed to make the grand intercession. And I'll see how he's twisting things around. And then he's giving it to an audience. Audience, they are flabbergasted. Hey, you know, something we didn't know. Ulama were misleading us. So what this is leading towards? It's leading towards Abrahamic Accord. So they're giving different names. Abrahamic Accord, Interfaith, Abrahamic Foundation, right? All these different names. But some of my friends went and traced the whole thing. They saw it's one single thing. Just different names, different branches, but leading to the same. So this is a conspiracy. Conspiracy to do what? So I asked the person that studied the whole thing. He studied the whole thing from A to Z. Not an alim. I asked him to go and study the thing. What's the whole idea? Because now he'll have an unbiased mind. Intelligent person, so he tells me, Muhammad, then you can't talk of Kul ya yul kafirun and Kul wallahu ahad. In the masjid, you can't talk about it. Because you must talk of things that are not mukhtalafi. So in that interfaith, you got a Christian, you got a Jew, you got a Buddhist, you got everybody there. Right? Because everybody's talking. Right. If you want to talk about the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, then it's going against the Christian. You're talking of oneness of Allah Ta'ala, it's going against the Hindu. So you can't talk of Kul Wallah, you can't talk of Kul Yayul Kafir. So you must just talk about the good. Don't discriminate. What are you saying? Don't discriminate, just talk of the good only. Now I ask you, this type of suggestions and proposals were made to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We aren't asking you to worship our gods. Just pass your hand over our idol. That's all. Just respect them. That's all. And everything will be alright. Wasn't this proposal made? All you need to do is just worship our gods for 1 year, the next year. We'll all be a loving nation. So this series of jahalat is nothing new. It was then it popped up its head again in Akbar's time, Deen Ilahi. And now there's a third version. And then all these ulama are linked up there. Now this morning, the news came up this morning, right? Not the news, came in the email. Right. Came there, what's happening now? That there was a talk, right? With the Suman Alim, so-and-so Alim, right? And he picked up the picture from a Shia poster. The silhouette, the topic, the name, everything exactly. Now they brought it to his attention. Why? What's wrong with you? See where this silhouette came from. From a Shia poster. And this thing was first given in London. And there were 135,000 petitions against it. And the same thing you're giving up here now. This man is talking against Umar radiallahu anhu. This person is discrediting Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. Where are they leading his Ummah to? Can you see the level of confusion? Now then, what words will you use? Will you use fancy words? Don't discriminate. Don't be judgmental. I ask you, sitting in the house of Allah Ta'ala, right? I ask you, if your son is going to a drug lord, sitting in a drug company, right? Going to the house, right? Will you tell him, don't discriminate? If he tells you, hey, if you tell him, you know, you mustn't go there. You mustn't go there. Don't hang around with those boys. And if he tells you, don't discriminate, have you got an answer? But about there, you said, don't discriminate. Why must discriminate here? Your son is hanging around people that's moving with, people that are womanizing and running around everywhere, right? Clubbing and all that. He said, I don't want to see you going there. And he tells you, don't be judgmental. I say, is that on? But you see what's happening. The level of confusion that is being brought on the Ummah. And nobody feels anything about it. No, let's live together, harmony, let's talk of non-controversial things. But then Rasulullah didn't know what he was doing. He was making jihad, he didn't know what he was doing. Khulafa'i Rashidin didn't know what they were doing. Why they made jihad? Let's live harmony, no discrimination, no judgmental, all Hindu, everybody will live together. You see the confusion. Are we coming back to Umar radiallahu anhu's story, right? In my namaz, my whole dua was, Allah, I got no topic today. You put something in my mind. I don't know what to talk about. And this thing is just coming like that. So, we're talking about Umar radiallahu anhu. And he's asked them to divorce this woman. And they say, is it haram? So, no. Before you do this, before you leave my letter, just divorce them, separate them. One is, I said, لِقِلَّةِ حِيَائِهِ. And the other is, لِجَمَالِهِمْ. يَقْتَدُونَ النَّاسَ لِجَمَالِهِمْ. Right. People follow you, the leaders there. Right? And these people, their half their lifestyle is makeup and presentation. Good voice, how are you talking? Congratulations, thank you, not to mention. That's a lifestyle presentation, isn't it? Lipstick, powder, beautician. Whose life is that? It's their lifestyle. The beautician, lipstick, powder, makeup, right? Do up the hair. Whose lifestyle is that? Yeah, hamari cheez to hai nahi. Hamari ghar ki cheez to hai nahi. But now, a Muslim woman also wants to do it. And the woman will say, you know, I have to do it. If I don't do it, my husband is like this. But then he'll look at all wrong things, harm things. Look at porn. So therefore, I have to do this thing. So until when are we going to live like this? Balancing like this, making this thing work here, making that thing work. Be straight. Millata Ibrahim. Millata Abikul Ibrahim. And Deena Ibrahim Hanifa. That be dedicated by, what's the Hanifa? Be dedicated, focused. Not this balancing thing. Otherwise, you're off the Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam's course. The record is against the teaching of Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. Be totally, totally focused that side. One side. Yaksui ho karke, sabse hat karke, yaksu ho jao. Totally focused. So now, I'm going to show you the aftermath. See what happens. So this one of Bikhu, one of the running madrasas in South America, right? So one of them, one of his team was here. So I asked him, from one end of America, South America to the other end, how many Arabs have relocated from Lebanon, all this Syrian, etc. How many? So approximately 50 million. What's the years? What amount of time? Approximately 50 years. 50 years and approximately 50 million have all moved on. Then I asked him, the next person asked him, alright, how many are Muslim? He said about 45 million have turned away. 5 million are Muslims, 45 are Christian. Because they went the free life, marry, enjoy, make good money, enjoy. That's your life. Right? That's your life. No? From 50 million, 45 million have turned away. And if you go and trace their ancestries, not riffraff, great ancestries. You know? For respects, I'm not mentioning the ancestries here, but extremely great ancestry. Greater than all our awliya, that type of ancestries. And they moved on that side. But it was just a matter of 45, 50 years and they turned. I asked him, what about the other 5 million? He said, they are Muslims by name, but they're not practicing. You see, so this type of a free community, this is what they're promoting. Whether it's multi-religion, whether it is interfaith, whether it is Abrahamic Accord, all that. And I ask you, isn't it our duty to talk about it? Is it our duty or not? Tomorrow that army will hold you by the collar. You spoke about other things, but you didn't talk about these things here. You didn't talk about it. So you left me in the dark. You left me in the lurch. But you see that? وَبِزِدِّ تَتَبَيَّنُ بِهِ الْأَشْيَاءِ. When you do the comparison, now you see the light. Alright, I saw this, and I didn't know about this. Now I'm seeing the true picture. I saw this, and now I'm seeing this. Allama Tantawi's granddaughter, her male was circulating that. So around the 40s, when this whole move was going on to Syria, to South America, so their families also were hard on going on that side. And he says, no, they're not going. Although he was not a very pious animal. Mufassir, not a very pious person. But he was on one leg by not going there. Said we gradually accepted. We didn't like what he said. Because they were going and they were making so much of money they were making. So we didn't like what the grandfather had said. But now after 50 years we're seeing the aftermath. So some things you can see straight away. And some things you see after time. See this type of messages. You take an umbrella to the school. You're not looking at the floods, you're not looking at the tsunami, you're not looking at the turbulence, you're not looking at anything. What are you going to do in the turbulence, in the tsunami? What are you going to do with that umbrella? That's going to push you away. It will destroy you. So anyway, we're talking of Huzaifah ibn al-Yaman, and I said, we started off with Libas. From Libas, we went to Fitna, right? So what's the rabt, what's the link? So they say the link is this, that the Libas covers you. See, some areas of your body, you don't want them to be revealed, right? So what does the Libas do? It covers you. You don't want to be revealed. If your body is lying there and unrevealed, you feel comfortable. And a Muslim Libas, what is a Muslim Libas? Male or female, a Muslim Libas got about four pertinent things, the original. See, we're not talking about this fabrication and this new version. We're talking about the original. So you want to go on the right than the old. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai ar-rashidin. Old, leave all this modern, concocted, fabricated, leave all these things and come back to the old. So the old, what was it? It had about four things, four features. One was that it was loose, the clothing was loose. So look at your dada's clothing, your dadi's clothing in some of the almaris. Won't you find them to be loose? Now it's an alima. Hey, she's wearing a tight. So are you getting apas complaining to me? But we can't tell them anything as children because their mothers are alimas. So because they're alimas, so we can't tell them anything. But they're wearing all this loose, they're wearing tight clothing, they're putting perfume and all that. Now, how do we sort this thing out? So everybody is looking towards the permissive Islam, Ibahiyat. There were different groups at that time, Mu'tazila, etc. But the deviant group today is the one word that will cover all, Ibahiyat, permissive society. Make it every. In the Christians, about 100 years ago it started, they call it the happy clappy. All dancing, running, boys, girls, everybody mixing, happy clappy. And now this group has started here, Ibahiyat. So there's four pertinent things. One is it's loose clothing. Number two, it's flowing clothing. Now go and look at your own families, extended families. Have they got all long flowing clothing? Sometimes you can't even make out larka hai ya larki hai. There's no, it's a Muslim cloth. Why? It's got a sleepy, what? Sleepwear. It's a Muslim company. So therefore it's right. See how they reason. Why it's right? Because it's sleepy. Sleepy is a Muslim company. So Muslim company, therefore, that makes it right. You go and see the pajamas, go see the clothing. And if not that, then you look at your children's clothing. Your children's clothing. They're just wearing a t-shirt, a girl. And then they want to know, hey, why are people looking at my daughters? But what type of clothes you are putting on for them? You're putting on that type of clothes. And these people's eyes will get on. They are pedophiles, all type of people. Right? Go back to the original. Don't attract attention. Now someone does it wrong, then your eyes are opening up. Right? Before that accident, go to the old. Second thing, right? The third pertinent thing was, the pot was either the cloth was either thick, not transferable, right? Not transparent, either thick and not transparent, or if it was a little bit thin, there are another cloth inside, like you're wearing a vest, but the vest is tucked into the pants. And if it's not tucked into the pants, and if there's someone a little bit bulky, making ruku or sajda, I ask you, part of his private area, is it revealed or not? Is it revealed or not? But let's say, no, I don't want to hurt him, he's coming to the masjid now, and he may just, who's going to teach these people here? Pants are going down, you can see it's going down. A little bit of a bulky person, whatever type of person, but if it's a strong light, then the other person will have a nice comment. You're coming to read namaz or you're looking at other people's backsides? See that? So, you will need to say it, right? Whatever it is, there'll be that percentage of people that are looking for the right. So when they are looking for the right, show it to them, mention it to them. Otherwise, they can hold your collar. You know all this thing was getting on. Why didn't you? You can research everything else. This mutakallimin, didn't they go and research all mutazila and all that? So can't we go and research all these things? Internet, interfaith and multi-religion, Abrahamic Ibrahim Foundation, etc. And even ulama foundation, they are housing this type of programs. So again, you come back to the original point by old guard. Hold on to the old guard that are holding on to the original ways, right? You can see there's no discrepancy, but just hold on to that. Otherwise, it's a mixed up Islam. And a mixed up Islam will definitely confuse you. So this Ibrahimic code, what it will lead you to? Imagine everybody is there. Then the next generation, the type of thought that you'll be passing on, that everything is right, all religions are right, everything is, you know, kosher. Don't pick on anybody, don't take out, don't say, don't discriminate any other religion, everything is right. Then it's too late. These people went to America, see what happened to them. Just in a matter of 50 years, I ask you, are you so selfish for your own ends? Have you become so selfish? And the fourth thing about a Muslim dress, a Muslim attire, is the head is covered. Now you can say this is a Muslim attire, head is covered, for a woman, in how she is supposed to be covering herself. Then the cloth is then loose, the cloth is then flowing, the cloth is not transparent, and if it's transparent, you've got something inside to conceal your body, especially if you're in a lighted area. And number four is that your head is covered. So that is clothing, right? Again, we come now, how does clothing connect to fitna? Because clothing, it conceals you. And fitna exposes you. Right? Clothing will conceal you, all your faults. You see, we don't want your body to be revealed, right? So the clothing conceals you. But the fitna, it exposes you. So you see the relationship. There must be a rapt. There must be a connection. It must be related. And their mind saw what we couldn't see. They're far, far ahead of us. And I think, you know, these people, what love of Rasulullah they must have had, that every minute detail, everything of the hadith, they got in record. With the record, the authenticity, the chain of reporters, if any person was not too authentic and reliable, they explained that as well. But they checked it up very well. So now if they hear, Imam Bukhari, etc., they hear that this is what we're doing to the fun of hadith. Anybody is just quoting however he wants and giving any interpretation from his pocket. What will happen? Now you've got a prominent speaker, right? He comes on and says, no. See, in his inaugural message, the Bishop's inaugural message, and who he spoke to, it was all people there. So we must love everybody, respect everybody. Now that inaugural message, what he was quoting, Afshu Salam, right? And the last one is, Sallu Billayli Wa Nasu Bin Niyam, right? So I ask you, Afshu Salam, and Sallu Billayli Wa Nasu Niyam, was it a message for everybody or directed to Muslims? Now he says, well, inaugural message, and Nabi Sallam was so caring and loving and compassionate, and see what he said in the inaugural message, it was love, respect, Islam is a religion for loving. Now, this type of statements appeal to the awam, to the common it appeals. But a little bit of reflection, and the dalil used, see what word Nabi Sallam used, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O people. But now that Alif Lam, what does it come from? Now you see that knowledge is deficient, and then you become a public speaker, the type of confusion that you create. You know, just to say this, Afshu Salam, and this is something restricted to a Muslim, So one person came to the office, and he didn't have a topi. He said, I felt disgusted. I went through the forecourt, and no child made me salam, you know. So I said, sorry for that, man. You know, my children are not good. But Chacha, I want to know from one thing from you. Came with a topi or without a topi? He said, no, without a topi. But to him, see, you know, in this Indian plains, as you entering, they say, namaste. Do you feel comfortable? They namaste. You feel, when they're greeting you in the Hindu style, do you feel comfortable? You feel horrible, don't you feel? So exactly the same, when you are making salam to the Hindu, he feels intimidated. You feel intimidated when he gives you that type of a greeting. So don't you feel intimidated? So how do you expect the child to know that you are a Muslim or not? Is it his fault? Say, boy, I didn't understand. At least you brought it to my attention. See, when we look at a matter, look holistically, not from one side, we look at a thing, and then we giving up. Man got good English, learned a little bit of Arabic, and now he becomes a public speaker. Now he's addressing woman. And he got a woman addressing him. Men looking at women, and women looking at men. So where that ayat, kullil mu'minina yaghuddu min anfusihim, yaghuddu min absarihim, where it went away? Tonight they're having the talk. They're having the talk. He's going to be talking to women, looking at them. Men, women, all mixed up. At an Islamic forum. What an Islamic forum? So, man is talking to woman, and woman is talking to men. Where are they going to be looking? You see, it's diluted Islam. Right? And nobody is addressing it. One Bishara Sahib, a Majlis, is talking about it, so everybody is questioning him, it's too hard. Right? We may not be in agreement with his approach, but what he's saying is true. I don't say anybody used the approach. But I ask you, what he's talking about, is it the right or not right? Is it right? Yes, we're not in agreement with the approach that he's using. Now, because of the approach, don't move him away. No, don't turn him away. What he's talking right. Yes, the approach, we may say, no, that approach is not right. Well, that's a different thing altogether. But I tell you, if you saw your son hanging around with all type of riffraff, and you will be tempted to tell him, Vandro, Gadelo Keno, who kare? A monkey? Don't you say that? So Muna is at that age, he's over 80 now, right? And if he spoke in that manner, then it's his age. You understand? His age, like if your father shouted you, right? If he shouted you in that word, you will take it like that. Why? Because it's his seniority. We will not say that that's the way to do it. We won't do that. But if he's done something like that, then you say, it is his deep-hearted dislike and aversion of kufr, etc., etc., that is prompting him to say this. That means his hub fillah and bughd fillah is so great. His iman is at another level, that his hatred for the sake of Allah Ta'ala is so deep that he can't see you doing this thing here. Therefore, he's talking that language. So just because of the language, now you abandon the person, I say, it's not fair.